Can you guys hear me? Check. Oh, I hear it. I hear it. I'm on. It wasn't me. Good morning, church. As Vince said, my name is Jacob Brissman. My amazing wife, Sammy, and I get the opportunity to serve together here leading the campus ministry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's go. And I'm excited and grateful for the opportunity to preach the word this morning. And over the course of this year, we've been studying out what it means to be the light of the world. And back in February, I actually got the opportunity to kick off this series. Not sure why Vince entrusted the young guy to do it, but he did. And we're here, you know, we made it. But we started off by talking about Genesis 1 and John 1 and how from the beginning, God said, let there be light. And the correlation with how Jesus is the light of the world. The first 10 weeks of our series, we spent focusing on how Jesus is that source of light and how we are called to reflect him in our lives. The next 10 weeks, we spent focusing on the purpose of the light and how his light is used to bless those around us. After that, another 10 weeks, we're spent talking about the power of the light, how we can use it to overcome trials and temptations and the darkness of the world. And finally, for the past 9 weeks, we've been focusing on the mission of the light and how Christ has called us, the church, to be the light of the world. And today I have the privilege to wrap up our series as we focus on passing the flame. You see, we're called to imitate Jesus' life, living as the light of the world. And as we recognize the call to be the light of the world, it didn't start with us, and it won't end with us. From the beginning, God called his people to be the light of the world. To the Israelites, he put them right in the middle of everything so they could be set apart, so they could point the world to him. In Matthew 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus calling to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." And the call remains for us today, and it will remain the same for all those who proclaim to follow Christ until the day that he comes back to take us home. Because in the church, we are the light of the world. And being in campus ministry, Sam and I, we get the opportunity that's really unique to live this out every day, surrounded by college students that are really hurting and are lost in the darkness of this world. You know, 28% of Gen Z has no religious affiliation at all. And over the past decade, depression and suicide rates have doubled. But these aren't things that are just for the college students. This is everywhere, right? The world is darker than it has ever been. And so it's special to get to be on campus, to get to be a source of that light for them. But despite what Vince may tell you, I will not be here leading the campus ministry for the rest of eternity. So the question that I need to ask myself is, what will I leave behind when the time comes for me to move on? You know, what will we pass on? You know, who will we pass the flame to? Who will we raise up so that they can be the light in this dark world? And the responsibility, it's not solely on Sammy and I. It's not just on the elders or the staff, but it's on us as a church. You know, we are the ones who are called to raise up the next generation, to pass the flame, passing on the torch so that they can continue to carry on the legacy of faith, of living as the light of the world. You can go ahead and turn over to 2 Timothy 2. I'll say a prayer, and then we will dive into the word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, gathering, just worshiping you, Lord. You are so good. You are full of grace and love, Lord, and you are light. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity that, you know, not only are you light, but you call us to be the light of the world. You put your spirit inside of us so we can shine brightly to those around us. And, And Lord, I pray that as we wrap up our series on the light of the world, that we can really just spend time reflecting on, man, what it means to be the light. Lord, what it means to shine brightly in the darkness and to be able to pass the torch to those coming after us. I pray that you speak through me this morning, Lord, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, picking up in verse 1, it says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and say the things that you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crop. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this." Last week, Alex talked about 2 Timothy 1, and he mentioned how that this letter is likely one of, or the last letter that Paul wrote before his death. And he's writing to Timothy, a young man who had had the opportunity to travel around with Paul, to preach the gospel with him. And Paul ultimately entrusts him to lead the church in Ephesus. And here Paul is giving him wisdom and how to lead and carry out the good work. And in many ways, Paul is and has already passed the flame on to Timothy. And so he's confident that he will be able to continue the work, to continue to spread the word, but also pass the flame himself. And in this passage, Paul is not instructing Timothy just to lead, but to go on and pass the torch, to go and find reliable men that he can entrust with the gospel to do the work of the Lord. And if we want to be a church that continues to grow, not just for the next 10 years, but for the next 100 years, we will have to pass the flame to those who come after us. We have to be willing to make the time to disciple, to walk with people, to train them, to raise them up, and to entrust reliable and trustworthy men and women to carry the torch forward. As disciples, we are called to share what we have been given, to be intentional about entrusting others with the good news. And so as we go through the lesson this morning, I want you to reflect on this question. Who are you entrusting to carry on the work? Who are you investing in? Who will you pass the flame on to? But if you're like me, this can be challenging. It can be hard to raise people up and to entrust them. It's so much easier to simply think that I can do it all by myself. And that if I get it done, it will get done to the level that I want it to be done. You know, I'd rather just spend the time, get it done, grind it out. Because it takes less time than walking with someone and equipping them and entrusting them to get it done. And maybe it's a sense of pride, but maybe it's also a sense of fear that things won't go the way that I planned or I hoped, if I'm willing to pass these things on. My nature is just to want to keep taking on more and more responsibilities. But that's not what God calls us to do, and that's how you get burnt out. But if we're to entrust these roles and responsibilities to others, it means that we have to spend the time and the energy investing in someone. It means that we have to be willing to let them make mistakes. It means that for me, I have to be willing to lose a sense of control. And I also recognize that if I don't train others, then I'm going to be in a tough spot. You know, that when I leave, there's not going to be someone ready to step up, right? But we have to be willing to equip people, to pass the torch. You know, we have to be willing to allow them to fail. And additionally, failure to pass on the responsibilities to entrusted individuals ultimately will lead to limits on our ability, right? It leads to more work for me, but also a bottleneck for our campus ministry. You know, we're a younger group, right? We're growing. It's been awesome to see God move, you know, and we're going through these pains of having to train and equip our students, right? To teach them what it means to go and share their faith, to teach them how to sit down with someone and really study the Bible. And the reality is, if I have to lead every study for the guys, then our ministry, it's limited. Our capacity is capped so much lower than it would be if each of our guys are able to go out and do this themselves. If each of them are able to not just be ignited, but to go and pass on the flame. And our ministry, it's only 2 years old. And I'm already starting to see this. Man, I'm starting to cap out. I need these guys to step up and to lead, and they are. And if we want to be a church that passes the flame of living as the light of the world, to endure the test of time, you know, there's three things that I see in this passage. But it all starts with raising up sons and daughters. And that's my first point this morning. You see, it is the children who carry on the legacy of their parents. As a child grows up, their parent must teach them how to do simple yet very important tasks, like doing the dishes or washing the laundry. You know, and as the child grows, they get more responsibility. Their parent entrusts them to do these things. You might not trust a 2-year-old to do the dishes because they might drop something. But eventually you have to say, okay, I'm just going to trust. And they might make mistakes. But why do they do this? It's so that their children can eventually function as adults, right? And so that when the time comes, that they are able to pass that on to their children, who can then function as adults. But for us this morning, you know, I'm not just talking about physically raising up children, but spiritually. You know, we've heard the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. But in the spiritual sense, it takes a church. And while being able to do the dishes and the laundry, it's important, it pales in comparison to being able to help somebody follow Jesus. And in case you were unaware or you forgot, you know, Paul is not Timothy's father. But listen to what he says as he writes to him. You then, my son. You know, there are many titles that Paul could have given to Timothy. My disciple, my young apprentice, my student, or even my friend. But yet he calls him son. And it speaks to the level of connection that Paul and Timothy have. But it also speaks to the role that Paul played in Timothy's life. You know, in their culture, but also in today's culture, you know, the father is meant to be the spiritual leader of the household. You know, he's the one who provides for his family and trains his sons to be able to do the same for their future family. He's a mentor, an encourager, a role model, the one who dreams and has visions for what his kids will go on to do for God. This is who Paul is for Timothy. And don't worry, women, you play a crucial role in all these things as well. You know, keep in mind, it's not just the father who's the sole influence on the child. The mother works alongside him as a unit to train and equip their kids. You know, we all have had people in our lives, whether biological or not, who have fulfilled these same roles in our life. The fathers and the mothers. But the same is true on the spiritual side of life. You know, who are the spiritual mothers and fathers that have made you the person that you are today? And if you've made the decision to make Jesus Lord, then who are the spiritual sons and daughters that you can raise up for tomorrow? You know, Paul knows that Timothy is reliable because he has walked with him. He has shown him what it means to lead and to love God. Paul knew Timothy's strengths, his weaknesses. He would have known his dreams, his hopes, his desires, but also his fears. But it all started from this place of deep love that Paul has. And it's not just for Timothy, but for all those that he comes across. People don't care how much you know until they know that you care. And if you read through Paul's life and Acts, if you read through his letters, it is so evident how deeply he cares and loves for those that he encounters. And we see this in Acts 20, 36 through 38. This is his final farewell to the church in Ephesus, to the church leaders specifically. But it says, when Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to his ship. You know, Paul fostered such deep relationships. But we can develop these same things, guys, if we're willing to walk with one another, live life together. And so I ask you, who are the spiritual sons and daughters in your life? You know, the people that you can pour into, that you can teach them what it means to be the light of the world. And this task, it's not just for a handful of people in this room. It isn't just for the elders and the staff. It's something that we're called to do together as a family. Each of us have people that we can influence. Each of us have people in our lives that we can call spiritual sons and daughters. The question is, will we take the time to raise them up, to walk with them, to love them? And while at times these relationships might require some intentionality, there might be times where you have to sit down and correct that brother or sister for something they did. There might be times where you have to walk with them and show them step by step of how to do something. But oftentimes, all that's required is just to walk through life with them, to do life together. That's what's required. And it makes me think of even when you just go and share the gospel with someone, there's just naturally a deep relationship that's built, right? You're there, you can encourage each other, you can spur one another on, but you're doing it together, raising each other up. And Paul and Timothy, they had gone through a lot over their years together. And that's why Paul is able to pass the flame off to Timothy with such confidence. He knew him. But raising sons and daughters to be people who are considered reliable is just the first step. Right? We actually have to be willing to pass the torch, to pass the flame. We need to be willing to let go as we entrust others with the light. And that's my second point this morning. Entrust others with the light. You see, Paul, he spends a lot of time walking and equipping others so that they will be able to carry on the mantle as he went about his ministry. But it wasn't just Paul that did this. This was the norm for all of the disciples in the early church. Regardless of how much or how little they knew, they were eager to go out and share and spread the gospel, to share the good news of what they have received. That is how Jesus reached that's how the word about Jesus reached the ends of the earth. It took each and every person. You see, in disciples of Jesus, they're called to make disciples. You, Paul, as well as the early church, they knew this. They were focused on raising people up who would follow the example of just being a servant of Christ, who would hear the word and be excited to go and share it with others. And now, in 2 Timothy, Paul is calling Timothy to do the same, to go and find reliable men who can be entrusted with the teachings of Jesus, who will in turn be able to go and then teach others. It isn't about Timothy doing all the work. It's about entrusting others so that the gospel can continue to be spread. Amen. Who are the people you are investing in? Who are the people that you are training? Will you entrust them with the things that you have been given? Who will you pass the flame to? Each of us have unique skills and talents, gifts that God has given us to both be a light as individuals, but also to be a light as a church. Because Jesus shines through each of us. But who can you entrust with the knowledge and the gifts that God has given you? And as I mentioned earlier, you know, there may be times where it feels challenging to entrust others with the task that we have been given. You know, we want to hold on to and cling to the things that we have been entrusted with, because we know that we can get it done well. And we don't trust others to do the work sometimes. But oftentimes, our lack of trust in others really comes from a lack of trust in God. Right, there are times where I can wrongly convince myself that if I am not the one to do the work, if I am not the one to lead the study or to lead the Bible talk, then God will not move. But that is just not true. Right, if you are a disciple of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you. God can and will move through you. And I am constantly needing to remind myself of this. Because oftentimes, my success is not because of me. It's not because of my abilities. It's because of God. But if I allow these lies and these fears to rule in my heart, then I'm not going to train people up. I'm not going to be willing to entrust them with the things that God has given me. And furthermore, you know, who am I to think that I am too good to pass on the torch to those who are around me? Even Jesus passed the torch. You know, he walked with his disciples and he taught them. And eventually, he says, it's your turn. And we could think about this and be like, wouldn't you think Jesus would be the best person to share the news about Jesus? Wouldn't he be the best person to be like, hey, look at what I've done for you. I died for your sins. But he sends the disciples. Surely the disciples were not more qualified than Jesus. But at the end of Matthew, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and we see him entrusting. He is passing the torch. And this is what he says. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we know this. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So if Jesus didn't think that the work relied on him alone, then why is it sometimes that we can believe the lie that it relies only on us? That we are the ones that have to get it done. God has entrusted each of us with the task of doing his will. And he calls us to go out, to equip, and to entrust others to do the same. Teaching people is just a part of the process. And we all have something that we can teach. Jesus spent roughly 3 years walking with his disciples, showing them what it looks like to carry out his mission. And at times, they made mistakes. There are times where he says, you have little faith. You just don't understand. There, you know, when he comes down off the mountain of transfiguration, his disciples are like, why couldn't we cast it out? Jesus has to step in, but he does it with grace and patience and love as he walks with them. He entrusts this ragtag group of guys with a mission to change the world. But yet we're still here today. We're still preaching the same message that they were instructed to pass on. And at some point, we will have to pass the flame as well. We will have to share it with those who come after us. And who knows? You might be surprised by what God does, by the ways that he blesses it. But will we trust God enough to trust others? Who will you raise up? Who will you pass the torch to? And just because we've passed the torch, it doesn't mean that our time is over, though. As long as there is breath in our lungs, the race is not over, and we need to remain focused on the finish line. And that's my last point. You see, Paul is calling Timothy to join in his sufferings and to continue to persevere. While Paul recognizes that his own time is coming to an end, Timothy must remain focused on serving God, just as Paul has throughout his life. You know, Paul didn't stop living as a servant of God when he passed off the church in Ephesus to Timothy, or when he passed off the church in Crete to Titus. Paul did not stop serving as a servant to the Lord when he was stoned, or when he was thrown in prison, or as he was facing death. His role may have changed, but who he served did not. Will we be a church that is known for serving God to the end? Will we be just as zealous or even more zealous to serve God at the end of our lives as when we were when we first made him Lord? You know, and maybe your time serving in the full-time ministry has passed. Maybe your time serving as a family group leader or a Bible talk leader has come to an end. You've already raised up the next person. But passing the flame does not mean that your flame gets to be extinguished. It simply means that now there are even more sources of light for God to use. And as a church, our light shines brightest when each of us allow our flames to burn brightly. It's like the song, "This Little Light of Mine." We all have to let it shine. At home, at the job, all around our neighborhood, at school. You know, we don't hide it under a bushel. We don't let saying it out. We have to let it shine. And if each of us lets it shine right where God has placed us, that is how we reach the world. That is how we live as the light, as a church. But like Paul, we must persevere. We cannot allow the distractions of the world to cause us to lose sight of the task that he has given us. And that's what Paul writes in verses 3 and 4. It says, "Join with me in suffering. Like a good soldier of Christ Jesus, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the civilian affairs, but rather he tries to please his commanding officer." We cannot allow ourselves to get distracted by the things the world does. We are soldiers in a spiritual battle. We must remain focused on the war that lies before us. And during this time in the Roman Empire, if you were a soldier, the only thing that you were focused on was serving your king. You could not own or operate your own business on the side. You were not even legally allowed to get married because that was seen as a distraction. All of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength was spent following the orders of the king. And for the Roman soldier, the time of rest came when their time of service was up. God is our king. He is our commanding officer, and we are fighting to build up his kingdom. But our time of service is not over yet. The time will come when we are welcomed by the king into the home, and we'll hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But until then, we must press on, pleasing the Lord, focusing our eyes on him. We cannot allow ourselves to become distracted, to get entangled in the civilian affairs, the things that don't matter. We need to fix our eyes on the Lord, following his commands so that we may be victorious over the enemy, that we can shine as the light of the world. And in a similar sense, Paul uses the analogies of an athlete and a farmer. Both must spend time preparing, laboring, working hard towards something that has not yet come. Yet we will receive our reward. We will receive our share of the crops when it is all said and done. We will receive the victor's crown. But we have to live our lives following God and his plans. An athlete cannot train or compete by whatever rules he desires, nor does a farmer choose their own method, right? They don't cut corners to get their share of the harvest. There is an amazing treasure that awaits each of us on the other side of this life. But as long as there is breath in our lungs, we must continue to fight. We must continue to live as the light of the world, to shine brightly. Because, church, we live in a world that is so full of darkness. And really, it's only getting darker. But we are the light of the world. Now is the time. Now is the time to shine brightly, to ignite the flames of those around us, and to burn brightly together for all the world to see. If we want to be a church that shines brightly in the world, not just for the next 10 years, but until the time that Jesus returns, we must learn to pass the flame. We have to raise up sons and daughters to know the Lord, building those deep relationships so that we can then entrust them to carry on the work, physically passing the flame, allowing for the next generation of disciples to step up and to learn to lead. And we must continue to persevere, focused on the finish line. Each of our lives is a fire. We must burn brightly as we pass the flame to those around us. But until the Father calls us home, we must remember this. We are called to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Yeah. Amen. Absolutely.